Okay.
Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Bugra Geezer. I think I got that right, of the CEO and founder of Futurist AI. Good afternoon, or good evening, actually, in your case, right? Isn't it, Bugra?
Yes. Good evening. Yes. Thank you.
Last time we talked, you were in New York, and now you're in Europe. So you get around, I guess.
Yes. Yes. I will be back in New York City next week. But yes. Business takes you to different locations, and now that COVID is less of an issue, business travel is again possible.
Yes, and actually it was interesting there for a while there. Business all travel was very expensive when things really started to loosen up. Did you notice that yourself?
Yes, I did. I mean, it was more difficult. There were less flights. Again, I didn't start traveling immediately after COVID got released. This was basically late in the summer that I did my first extended trip, so to speak. But yes, I mean, everything is more expensive.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it was interesting. I had a business trip planned to go to LA, San Francisco to LA, and I thought, all right, $200. It was $700, so I ended up driving. Much easier and cheaper. So last time we talked was probably 2 or 3 months into COVID back in 2020.
Yes.
You were really just getting started. Now, 2 years later, you actually have a company with customers and everything, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Yes.
And I've been on your website. It looks quite professional. So tell us, I mean, what's happened in the last 2 years? I mean, you went from, if I remember right, you were a solopreneur. You were pretty much building this yourself to now you have, right. You know, you have contract people that actually come and go as you do things, right? So that's how you've built your business?
That's correct. I mean, it was possible for me to, expand, I mean, use resources on the go, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It gave me the flexibility to scale up at certain points and also scale down at other points, because I'm still building some capability on my platform. And also certain projects and certain clients have, peaks of resources that basically once the job is done, I don't really necessarily need those resources on the longer term. So it gave me the option to scale up, to start my business in the right way. Also because, there was COVID, we didn't really have an office space, and that was basically, it was a very natural progression.
Yeah, and forgive me, I forgot to ask you, like, can you explain to people what Futurist AI does and how it can help them?
Futurist AI basically allows you to understand why people like your company, your products, and why they should, and how it compares to your competition. In effect, in summary, it's like having a consulting company work for you full-time. The key benefit that Futurist AI has, it basically allows you to find the unknown unknown, so the unknown problem that's affecting you, but you're not even aware of it. And Futurist AI allows you to basically, by analyzing customer feedback or stakeholder feedback on your company, to find if you have any issues that you're not aware of. Why do people like your product? Why do people like your competitor's product? If you're basically having a great sale on one product, why is it? Because you have lots of platforms that allow you to understand how you're doing versus the competition in terms of sales. But it's maybe less evident to find out why a product is selling the way it is. A specific platform in a specific country. So my platform allows you to analyze content in multiple languages. So we do English, Spanish, French, German, and Turkish. Mm. So it allows you to have to analyze the way your products perform internationally, and as it compares to other companies as well, or competing.
And interestingly, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you first started, you were really more of a stock prediction company, correct?
That is correct. But again, the way the technology works, if you can predict how stocks are going to perform, you can also predict how sales are going to perform. Because the way I was doing effectively stock prediction is I was determining why people liked a company as a whole. Mm-hmm. And why they disliked the company. So if they liked it, well, they would buy it. If they disliked it, then they would sell it. I basically fine-tuned it. And I can say now to the company itself, product by product, why are they buying this company? Sorry, why are they buying this this product, this brand, versus the competition? And if they're going to keep buying it in the future. So it's the same technology, but it's a more fine-tuned application.
Well, then it's applied to a different, condition, really. So, right? It's, assuming this technology could be applied to other things, correct?
Oh, of course. It could be applied to politics, to lots of other things, because at the core of it, the thing that the technology does, it allows you to determine what people care about. Mm-hmm. So when you speak about a product, a company, a person, a political party, an issue, the AI determines what the key topics of conversation are. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to determine, if you were going to run, say, a political campaign, right? Wouldn't you like to know what are the key issues for your constituency? Mm-hmm. If you're going to launch a product in a segment, wouldn't you like to know in the existing product what people really care about? Or why do they like this product? Mm-hmm. So that's effectively what the system is able to do.
And so correct me,
sure.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember right, you use natural language processing.
Absolutely.
You get the little nuances of what people are saying to figure out what they really mean. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And this is the same application because I take basically text the way people speak about an issue, a company. And because I'm not using any, I'm using unstructured, basically what they're saying. People typically express issues that they care about directly, meaning if they care about, I like the taste of this product, they will say it. If they like, the fact that the product is cheap, they will say it. If they like something else about a product, a person, then they will say it as well. But if you go with a questionnaire and you say, do you like the taste 1 through 5? Or you can basically, you're creating an intrinsic bias. Mm-hmm. Whereas I tend to approach the issue saying, why do you like this product? Mm. Why do you like this candidate? Why do you like this issue? Or then people will say directly what's important for them first. Mm. Because if you have a questionnaire, you're guided by it. You will always answer a question in a questionnaire.
Yes.
But that may not be the most important issue for you on that subject.
Interesting. It makes sense when you think about it, but you're right. If you have a multiple choice, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you get multiple choices, let's say there's 1 through 5, very few, rarely do people say 1 or 5. They're usually 2, 3, or 4, correct?
That's correct. That's part of the issue. That's part of where you create the bias. But the more important bias is when you is the order of the question. So as a potential project, basically, I was approached by a snack company and they said, oh, we'd like to use an AI to determine how we're going to do our product's packaging. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's very interesting, but I said, your clients absolutely don't care. Mm-hmm. And they said, what do you mean? I said, if you're speaking about selling your product on the internet, I said, go to Amazon.com. And this is a very well-known cookie sold in the US. Absolutely well-known. If I told you the brand, you know it. Everyone knows it. And I said, go to Amazon.com, show me one review where the customer mentions packaging of that product, I will do the project for you for free. And of course they don't, because it's a very well-known product. They say, I like the taste, I like, you do not like the packaging. packaging for a cookie is only relevant if you sell it in a supermarket, because it's supposed to do two things. It's grabs your attention, or if you know the product, it's the packaging that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying this on Amazon, really not relevant.
Interesting. And then do you think that's true in general of online e-commerce, that people don't care about the packaging as much as the product is?
They care about packaging in certain circumstances. If the product is a gift, they care about packaging. If the product, for example, is a perfume, they care about the bottle, because that bottle is going to sit on their nightstand.
Mm.
So there are instances in which they care about packaging. But if you're, again, just to use, again, something that is not my client, let's say you're going to buy, Tide Pods. Do you really care about the packaging of Tide Pods? No. Yes, it has a certain color theme and thing, but if you're buying it online, they could, that's really not your concern. You want to buy Tide Pods. You go there, you like it because maybe your family liked it, your wife likes it. There might be various different reasons. It may be most probably that you always used it. Whatever it happens to be, you tried it, you liked it.
And true.
And for Tide Pods, if you check, you'll see that there are tens of thousands of reviews, and it's a soap.
Yeah. And interesting, when you buy something online, when you first see it, when it comes to your house, it's in a box. You really don't see the packaging.
Yeah. So for the online experience, for an e-commerce, for an e-commerce site, it's only relevant if it's a gift. I mean, in the mail, right? Yeah. There are certain things that will you can basically put a caveat to, but for almost most products, you would not care.
So it's interesting because you've got this technology that you've built, over time, and now you can apply it to multiple disciplines. So where do you see this going in the future? I mean, I can think of one right off the top of my head is sports betting, right? I mean, you can literally listen to the way pro athletes and coaches talk.
Yes, I've actually tried it there, but in that specific instance, I can quite accurately say predict the Super Bowl, but in sports betting, you also have the bets. I mean, the percentages, you can also look at the amount of money being placed. That's also a very accurate representation of the thing. I mean, to give you an idea what my technology does, yes, I can do that, but the cool thing about my technology is if you say, let's say people are for Team A.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the odds, you'll know that people are for Team A. My technology can tell you why they are for Team A. Because they have a better quarterback, because it's that time of the year, because they are on a momentum. That's what's different, because there are lots of things that will tell you, oh, this is better than the, I mean, it has more sales. Example, right? You can look at credit cards receipts. You can look at betting averages, because if it's one is 3-1 and the other is 30-1, you say, yeah, well, the 3-1 is, people expect it. Well, what my technology does is why do people expect it? What are they talking about? And what's the difference between the two? And why do you have this? Why do they expect the other team to win?
Yeah, that would make sense. But it'd be interesting. And did you predict the Super Bowl correctly, just out of curiosity?
Yes. And actually, and the reason why I was able to is you have lots of the content that I looked at was basically college coaches and high school coaches who were making their own predictions about Super Bowl on their own newspapers. And I basically read those contents and I did the analysis. And yes, I was able to, predict, I think, the last six of the Super Bowls quite accurately.
Well, I might be giving you a call in January.
I think the consensus usually in most teams tend to, you do have always surprises. I mean, this is just a predictive technology.
Right.
But if you, what I did was basically more, what this technology is able to do is you on your own will be able to read, maybe without getting too bored, you know, you'll be maybe read, you know, 50 reviews of these of these coaches. That my technology can read like 10,000 of them without basically and summarize it. That's where the scale of the product comes in. Yeah. But ideally, if you have the patience to read through hundreds of thousands of reviews on your information on a product, a company, a thing, you should be able to get to the same point. Except that no one has the time, the energy, the will to do that. So, but that's where the technology is gives you. Gives you the efficiency to understand what's happening.
Very cool. So where do you see next? I mean, what are the things you're currently working, if you can just divulge them, or where do you see?
Right now I'm working with one of the biggest cosmetics groups in the world. I'm working with one of the biggest snacks companies in the world. And also a couple of other companies in the small electrical appliance space. And you know, my idea is to basically start building scalable products, because the way that the technology works is once I do a segment, I can basically read everything in that segment. So if I know how to read Godiva chocolates as an example, then I can read Lindt chocolates, I can read Ferrero Rocher, I can read all of them. So once I do it for one, I can read the whole of the industry. And that's where this flexibility comes in, because once I do a project for A, I can literally go to the competitor and say, by the way, would you like to see this result? As long as, and most of my content is publicly available, so obviously for certain things are the company's own research or things obviously that is not shared. But the idea is to basically it's basically a subscription type of system where you have effectively like a consulting company telling you or this type of information. Because this fills a very neat segment.
Oh yeah.
If you go to an advertising company or a marketing company, they will tell you lots of things about your products, your brand in general, through Twitter and Facebook and other content, but it will be your brand in general, your brand perception, let's say. Whereas I can tell you your products, how they perform, why people like it, dislike it, and also the competing products in the same space.
Yeah.
That's really where the advantage is. And that's what basically people are interested, because usually they will know their products fairly well, but they do not know the competing products as well, or if there's an issue or something of that nature.
Well, interesting with that concept. I mean, if let's say I'm a big chocolate manufacturer and you do this service for me, has any company ever asked you for exclusivity to say, hey, I want you to do this for me, but you can't sell it to anybody else in my industry?
Sure, then you add 2 zeros to the service.
Yes, no, but it makes sense, right? Because...
Yes, for certain things, absolutely. And again, the way that I handle this is some things are very specific and other things are more high-level, white-labeled. I mean, this is what... this typical product is viewed by most of the customers, so on and so forth. But yes, this is how I tend to approach that issue.
Good business. So now you started a company right before a pandemic. You've been in business for most of the pandemic, but things are starting to come back. And you've said you built this company through hiring, contract for hire, basically. Do you have plans to open up an office in New York? I mean, what you do is like Madison Avenue, right?
I'm really unsure. I mean, I may have like a temporary office to do just for meetings and such, but still most of the talent that I'm, I do something very specific and very high end in terms of skill sets. So wherever that talent is, I will use it wherever they are. And they might not be interested to basically move to New York City to work from there. Mm-hmm. If they're interested at some point, sure, why not? But again, it's not my absolute priority. And for most of the people that I have interacted with, and some of them I would like to use more of their time, let's say. But if they're in wherever, you know, basically in upstate New York, near a lake, I'm not going to, you know, I use them because they do a good job for me. If they mm-hmm. do a good job, I really don't care if they're based in physically in New York City or, you know, wherever they happen to be.
I agree with them. I'm on a project now where a lot of the developers are in Vietnam, and there's also a major developer in Colorado. So as long as they get the job done, right?
Absolutely. And again, but this is the nature of what I do. In other businesses, you know, people have different different opinions. But I think the fact that basically, I think it would be an illusion to think that people are going to go back to 20 years ago and everyone will be in an office. That's just.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
You know, that's just, you know, especially the way that certain investment banks and certain, you know, law firms are trying to behave, I think it's just not realistic. They will lose talent.
Yes.
And the moment they realize they lose talent, they will just change their policies.
Mm-hmm.
And in the grand scheme of things, for most of what, for most firms do, I don't really understand the need of having everyone in the office all the time.
I would agree. And actually, I think some companies have already learned that lesson. They have lost talent and they have already made changes. Well,
I mean, that's basically kind of, you know, especially for what I do, that there are people I'm perfectly happy to work with them, and I'm not going to try to force them because then I won't be able to work with them. And why would I do that?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Booger, it was great catching up with you. It sounds like futurist AI is on the move.
It's hopefully going that way.
Yeah,
but fingers crossed. So it's
very, very cool technology that can be applied to many, many verticals. So I think you have a bright future. So best of luck and have a great week.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And I will be calling you before the Super Bowl.
Sure. Of course.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.